Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I drop my kid off at swimming practice and deliver an episode to you while I walk around. I'm Brendan Riley. Well, greetings, listener. I hope that you are finding yourself enjoying a pleasant day. I'm taking a stroll after dropping my child off at swim practice and enjoying the nice weather here on June 25th. So this podcast, I'm trying something new. Last month, I did the top of the stack episode in the normal cycle, and it ended up airing, whatever the word I'm looking for, coming out on the podcast, like June 10th or 12th or something like that, which is later than I'd like for a podcast that's supposed to be about the previous month. That seems too late. So what I'm doing today as an alternative approach is I'm leaving a gap in my publishing schedule and I'm gonna try to record and edit the top of the stack episode in a single cycle. So I normally do record and edit the podcast on the same day. I record it, edit it, and post it. Just when I post it, I post-date it so that it publishes automatically later. That way, I can do the podcast when I have time and not worry about maintaining the schedule, because as long as I'm recording it regularly, it doesn't matter if I'm there to hit publish when it's supposed to come out. I know you were hoping that this episode would start with a little bit of administrivia, and I've met that need. Okay. Well, today I am doing a shooting from the hip episode. I'm going to be talking about a new game I got for my birthday that I got to play for the first time a couple days ago, and that is The Prodigal's Club. If you're not familiar with it, The Prodigal's Club is a game by Vladimir Suchy from Czech Games Edition. I believe it's 2015. Could be 2016, but I think it's 2015. And the premise is that you are it takes place in Victorian England. The theme is that you are a wealthy gadabout, a layabout who has everything they could want but is bored with life. So you and your friends, the other players in the game, have formed a club called the Prodigal's Club, and your goal is to get rid of all of the things you have. Throw away everything you've got going for you, and the person to hit rock bottom first wins. The game has a really interesting setup. There are three potential contests that you can have with your friends to destroy your lives. There is the possessions contest, which is in which you try to get rid of all of the valuable things you own. There's the election contest. The idea is that as the scion of a wealthy family, your father has been paying for votes so that you could get elected to parliament. So the elections contest, your goal is to destroy your public image so that you can't get elected. And then the third contest is the society contest. There are four prominent society members, two men and women, with whom you want to destroy your reputation. And so the idea is that you interfere with the way they think of you in that contest. So those are the three potential contests, and you have to do two. The game requires that you do two of the contests, but it is possible to do all three at the same time. And actually, that is the way we played, because that seemed like the most fun. I could see playing two, probably when I teach my daughter to play, it will start with two, just so that there's less to keep track of. And it would add variety to the game. It certainly changes your approach if you only have to think about two of the things. But, so this is a shooting from the hip episode. Like I said, I've only played it the once, so I'm sort of reflecting on, well, I did a practice play where I played three-handed by myself, but I've only played one real game of it. So this is first reaction. For those of you unfamiliar with Vladimir Suchy, he is a designer I really like who did an earlier game called Last Will, which is in the same theme, sort of. The idea is that you are, again, an heir to a fortune, but the uncle or person who amassed the fortune feels like they wasted their life by not living. So they want to give their money to the person who will spend it the most. And so you are given some money at the beginning of the game, and your goal is to spend it all the first person to spend it all wins. Or at the end of the game, person who spent the most of it wins. So that's the idea, or that's the prequel. And there are a lot of carryover mechanisms that, if you've played Last Will, Prodigal's Club feels very familiar. So I like the theme. It's different, unusual. It absolutely should be focused on male characters because it takes place in Victorian England and men were the ones who got to have property. But it is a bummer for me that you have to play a man character, I think. Like, I think my daughter's just gonna be less interested in the game. But it's a funny theme, and I think it suits. The art is nice, the cards are funny. I really like the game overall. It is one of the first reactions you have to this game, which has been true of both of the other Vladimir Suchi or Suhi games that I've played, both Last Will and Pulsar 2849, is that they are incredibly complex. That they have a lot of things going on, and as such they become really interesting because they just burn your brain as you're trying to keep track of all the different things and figure out the best way to approach solving all these problems at the same time. In essence, Prodigal's Club makes that extra challenging by having three different mechanisms for ruining your life. I mean, there's the central mechanism of the game, which is worker placement. You place out your errand boys, you get actions from those errand boys, or you get cards. And the cards can either be permanent cards that give you something every round, like you might have a valet who just costs you a dollar every round, or they could be one-use cards where you play it one time, you get the benefit once, and then the card is discarded. The way the game works is everybody takes turns putting out their errand boys and collecting the results from those errands. Then each person gets to take a turn doing the action phases where they play all of their cards and do all of the different things that they want to do in a given round all at once. And then it goes on to the next person. And once everyone has done it, then the game resolves. The thing that makes it so complex is that it's three parts. One, the scoring. I don't think I've talked about the scoring yet. Like I said, your goal is to ruin your life and be the person who most ruins your life. For the possessions contest, it's just the value of your cash, plus the value of the expensive things you own, plus £3 for each of the expensive things that you haven't sold yet. So they're worth more if you still own them, as opposed to if you sell them for cash, then the cash is just face value. The election track has the simplest evaluation, which is just the number of votes that you currently have. And the society track, you add four numbers because it's a grid of numbers with sort of a sliding scale up and down and a little token for each of the four people you're trying to ruin your reputation with, two men and two women. And the score under the four markers is your score. So as you go along, you're changing your score and that determines. So if you're sliding them down the scale, they reduce in value or whatever. So there's three different scores to calculate at any given time. And the means by which you move these things around adds to the complexity because you have to kind of keep track of all these different things. So sorry, I'm really scattered this morning. So the way that you win is you look at all the scores for the contests that are running this game, be it one or two or three, and then whichever contest you score the highest in, that is your final score for the game. So if you end up with $10 and 15 points in the society column, 15 is your score. In other words, if you have the lowest, highest score, then you win. Which reminds me of a Moxie Fruvis song. So the result of this weird scoring calculation is that it's very complicated as you're playing to think about how you're doing, try to decide. So much so that one of the cards you can get is the lawyer character. And what the lawyer can do is move your score markers up and down an equivalent amount. So like if you have, let's say you're lower on money than you are on votes, you can use the lawyer action to give yourself $3 and take away 3 votes, or vice versa, which by itself is not, doesn't really gain you much. But if you're able to build up an engine that lets you move a lot on one scale, the lawyer can be a second part to that engine that lets you transfer some of the benefit from that big scale to one that you're not as easily able to move. For instance, when I played, I got an engine where I was able to move really fast on the vote track because I had a lot of restaurant icons, and I got a couple cards that let me drop my votes a lot based on how many restaurant icons I have. If that doesn't make sense, I can't really, it's very hard to explain without showing you the game. Suffice it to say, it goes to the theme, the idea being like, I get a lot of restaurant reservations, and then I go around being a boor at the restaurant, and that makes people dislike me, and ruins my standing and costs me votes and so on. So another thing I like about Prodigal's Club is that it is extremely tight as a game, that almost every time I have to do something in the game, it's a difficult decision about what to do. Now, if you glimpse an early combo that allows you to do something great, that's something you can pursue. And I admit, in the last game we played of it, I rode that restaurant path a long way. But the game has lots of compensatory moves that make it hard to keep that up. Like, for instance, as the game goes along, you have to sell your possessions because you can't sell them all at once. So you can't wait till the last round and then sell everything you own. Even if you did, you'd have a ton of money left. So instead, you have to, over time, sell your possessions, like one or two a round. I think you start with 6, and there's 5 rounds in the game. The thing is, when you get rid of your possessions, then you don't have the icons that they had anymore. So as I got rid of my personal chef, and I had 2 personal chefs at one point, then, or like one of my opponents had a couple horses, and then he got rid of his horses. As you get rid of those things, then it makes it harder to get those bonuses. And so later in the game, single action cards become really valuable. There are cards you can play that will let you spend a bunch of money, for instance. The result is the game is super tight. So tight, in fact, that when we played, because you can end the game, if any one of the players ends the game with a score of 0 on any of the tracks, ends a round with a score of 0 on any of the tracks, the game immediately ends. And then we all look and see who has the lowest, highest score. So when we played, when I played against 2 other real opponents, one of my opponents was able to end the game, but then he needed to do a quick survey of everybody's scores before he did so to make sure that he was going to win. And he wasn't sure he could. It was an interesting balancing act. One of the things I made a note of was that something that I thought maybe is a drawback was variability. I would say, despite the fact that this game has a lot of different approaches you can take, you know, putting in 2 of the contests instead of 3, I think when you play it, it's going to be a very similar experience each time. And for some people, that might be a drawback. For me, it's not so much, in part because I play so many different games. It's pretty rare that I'll play the same game 5 times in a year. I have a top 10, right? Or a 10 for 10 games. I'm trying to play them 10 times in a year, but that's not that common for me. So the idea that the game needs to be really variable in the play experience, well, maybe, maybe not. That said, one of the things that adds to the complexity of the game, but also adds to the variability, and is something that I heard mentioned in every review of this game that I heard, and it got a fair number of reviews when it came out, is that because it is a direct sequel or direct parallel, whatever you want to call it, to Last Will, it's built with the same mechanisms in mind. It's also designed so you can play Last Will inside of Prodigal's Club. So remember, I mentioned one of the contests you can have is the possessions contest, where you're trying to divest yourself of all your stuff. Remember, I said in Last Will, you're trying to divest yourself of all your stuff. Prodigal's Club has a mode where you can set it up, and instead of putting in the possessions contest, you set up Last Will instead. And then when you play both Last Will and Prodigal's Club at the same time. You get, I think, 1 more worker, so you have a few more actions, and you still do the bidding for actions like you do, because in a Prodigal's Club, there's no limit to your actions. You just take, you take a number of worker placement spots equal to the number of errand boys that you have, and everybody gets the same number. And then you get unlimited actions. As long as you have something you can do, you're allowed to do it. In Last Will, there's a bidding phase at the beginning where you bid, or you choose a combination of errand boys and actions, and I think money. It's been a while since I've played. And so depending which one you take, you get more or fewer errands and errand boys and actions. And in order to do things, you have to use actions. So the way that the combined game works is that you still have your actions that you can use in Last Will, but then Prodigal's Club is as many actions as you want. You don't have to use up your Last Will actions to do it. So it combines them both, which I think would make for a really interesting and complicated game. Also, it would be bonkers to play, but I'm really excited. I'm going to play the mega game at some point. I'm looking forward to that. That said, I think the game is probably not all that variable, despite being extremely complex. Finally, the last thing I want to note before we finish up here is the game is chock full of humor, right? Like, the theme is really funny, this idea of trying to ruin your reputation. And so a lot of the cards are very funny. One of the more amusing ones is there's a Sunday picnic card that shows two gentlemen and a lady sitting on a blanket in a park, and the lady is naked. I mean, she's positioned in a demure way, so you can tell she's naked, but you don't see any naughty bits. But, and then when you play that card, then you go down in your, the society one goes down. And part of the joke is if any linked tokens will go down together. So the idea is, like, they see you and your debauched friends having this picnic, and then you go down in there standing together. It's pretty funny. But so the whole game is chock full of humor like that. And if you take the narrate what you're doing and generate a story that fits what you're doing, it makes for real, a strong entertainment. That said, there's so much to keep track of as you're playing that I did not find myself narrating my experience as much. This is a comment Richard Hamrado made in his playthrough video, Final Thoughts, as well, about the game, is that there's so much complexity to it, it's harder to find the narrative overt the way that you do in Last Will. In Last Will, the narrative is super obvious. What you're doing makes a lot of sense. In this game, it feels slightly more abstracted. It's a little harder to see how you're adjusting the score. The last thing I forgot to mention about the society track, which I just think is funny, is one of the things you're working against each round is this character named Aunt Beatrice. And she's like a little old lady who loves you. And so she's constantly telling people about how great you are. So one of the things you can do is just make an effort to arrange things so that her tales will not fall on the ears of the people you're trying to ruin yourself with. Or you can actually send an errand boy to distract her, and then she doesn't tell good tales about you. It's funny. Well, I think that's about it for me today. I'm actually a little over time, I suspect. I hope that you've enjoyed the walk. Let me know. Reach out on Board Game Geek Guild 3269 and let me know what your experience is with Vladimir Suhi's games, Last Will or Pulsar 2849, or today's shooting from the hip subject, The Prodigal's Club. Have you played it? Have you played the mega game? Do you like complicated games like this? Which one of the three I've mentioned here are you most excited to try? I definitely am looking at Shipyard as my next Suchi purchase. Suhi? Because I really enjoy the other games quite a bit, and I know that one's supposed to be pretty good as well. So I think that's it for me today. I hope that you've enjoyed the walk. I certainly have. Drop me a line on Twitter at Rattlebox Games, or by email, brendan@rattleboxgames.com, or swing by Board Game Geek, where my username is wombat929, or post a comment in our guild. In the meantime, thanks for joining me today. I look forward to next time our paths cross, and I hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. The lowest, highest point.
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 Lowest, highest point.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.